2026. Wow, already. Where's the time go? How often do you say that to yourself? Where did the time go? It seems just like yesterday that, insert your memory here. Where does time go? So I'm going to put it simply right now where my time goes, on average. There's 168 hours in a work week. No, not a work week, in a week. 168 hours. Currently for me, on average, 60 hours of that is Monday through Friday for a job that pays the money, including my commute, which is an hour one way. So 10 hours a week I'm commuting to work and home. It's painful looking at these numbers. That is 41.7% of my time. That's just Monday through Friday. Because I can't keep up with the workload, I'll have to bring the computer home on the weekends and try to catch up or get ahead for the following week. So I can be now up to 65 hours, 70 hours a week work. 60 hours a week sleeping. That's about an average of 8 hours a night, with maybe a nice Saturday nap. Those two activities account for 77.4% of my time in 1 week. That leaves me 38 hours in a week. Okay, 38 hours to do what? Well, we all have chores. We all have the errands. The little things you may not think of that eat away your time, eating. Paying bills, things of that nature. For me, on any given week, that's between 10 and 20 hours. Mornings, you know, we may not include our time having a cup of coffee, doing our morning devotionals. But you see where I'm going? Very easy, our time is taken away from us. So I'll just start out with this question. The time that you find yourself left with in a week, what are you doing with it? So I mentioned tomorrow I start on my third boss in just 4 months. My second boss recently left the company of his own accord. He had Thanksgiving week off. He took that as a vacation week. Now, I work a job that we get unlimited PTO. I don't know what that means, how it works. I'd like to challenge it and see if I can take a week off every month. But those of you, if you're earning your PTO time, you probably try to maximize your PTO hours by taking them on when you get a couple holidays. So my boss had that week off. And I just sent him a text like on Monday, hey, enjoy your vacation. Don't think about work, don't put your computer on, and have a good Thanksgiving. His reply to me, thank you. Thanks for all your effort. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Now, at the time, thanks for your efforts. I kind of took it because I'm overloaded at work. I kind of took it as, oh, nice try. Thanks for your effort. Nice try. Here's a trophy. Effort. Thanks. It's not how he meant it, but sometimes whatever we're going through at a particular moment might be how we interpret something. Me knowing I was behind on deadlines. Thanks for your effort. Thanks for trying. So I do want to talk a little bit about that today, efforts and trying. Now, if you know you're going to fail at something, are you going to put in the effort to try? We're in 2026 now. Anybody here do that resolution thing? I don't. You know why? Because I'm going to fail. I am. I almost wanted to like do a negative one and say, you know what, I'm not going to call anybody in 2026 because nobody calls me. I will tell you right now, I will fail on Saturday. So I'm not going to put in the effort to try that. As far as New Year's resolution, this wasn't part of the sermon. I'm going to be until Nicole on Friday sent me. She probably picked it up off of Facebook. 2026 resolution. Be more like Christ. Hang out with sinners. Upset religious people. Tell stories that make people think. Choose unpopular friends. Be kind, loving, and merciful. And take naps on boats. Other than the naps on boats, I'm like, that sounded like what I was doing 30 years ago, but not in a righteous way. Not in a righteous way. So, thinking of effort, if we're not going to try something because we think we are going to fail, what is failure? Is it not succeeding or reaching a goal for yourself? Is it not pleasing somebody else? Is it not living to God's expectations? So when you think of failure, most people, right off the bat, are going to pick one of the two. I'm going to fail. Or I'm going to let you down, so I'm not even going to try. So a couple months ago, I talked about intention. We kind of can look at effort that way. Similar, a little bit different. We can look at effort as acts and deeds versus faith alone. You know, Bob read a verse from Ephesians 2. Saved by grace through faith. And so if I'm going to talk that, you know I got to go to James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Sometimes I feel as Christians, as disciples, I feel that sometimes we are getting too complacent. Sometimes I feel we are getting too complacent, that we are just standing back going, I've been saved. And as Barry has mentioned a couple weeks, and you need to run with this, Barry, maybe at your next sermon, that maybe we're getting too chummy-chummy with God. Oh, I don't need to try. I just Show up to church on Sunday. It's all I need to do. I'll forewarn you now, over my coming sermons, I am going to address some of these matters, some of these hard issues, and some of the hard truths that Jesus speaks to that we seem to gloss over. And we shouldn't. We need to be reminded who we serve. And can we look at effort also as endurance, perseverance, to give it your best? As far as sermons go, I'm fairly new. My first sermon was about a year and a half ago, and my sermon was on endurance, which was based off Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That takes effort, that takes intention. Jim, I don't have time. Jim, do you even have time? You opened up with your average schedule. Jim, do you have time? You want to tell God, I don't have time for you? I don't have time to put in the effort? When I asked the spare time you do have, 5 hours a week or whatever, what are you doing with it? You doing something for self? Or something for God, something for Jesus? Maybe you need to sacrifice yourself, which Jesus does talk about. That'll probably be my March sermon. And give some of that time to God. While I'm in Hebrews, flip over to chapter 5. Ending the chapter, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I think those verses speak to complacency. Us being complacent. Taking the gifts Bob talked about. Oh, I have that already. And becoming complacent. We should not be complacent. We should be serving Jesus and God every single day. Sunday, it's a great day to hear the word, to hear the message from God. Monday through Saturday, it's a great time to practice it. No matter how many hours, say, you put into your job in a week, you do have opportunities. It really doesn't take any time to look for opportunities. Your mind needs to be on Christ to look for these opportunities. Something similar, said a different way, but said by Jesus. Luke 14:28-30. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you laid the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Just want to, have you personally think about your own walk with Christ right now. Did you stop at baptism with the acts and deeds? Did you lay that foundation? After counting the cost, doing all the work of what it is to be a disciple of Christ, you got baptized, you got excited about it. I called upon the name of the Lord, so I have been saved, Romans 10:13. And then the only thing you do is go to church on a Sunday, nothing else. If you're walking the streets or at the supermarket or something, is somebody else going to know you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? It takes time and effort. It doesn't happen overnight. We have the foundation. We have the foundation. We have His truth. We have His teachings. And yes, we really don't talk about the tough ones, do we? We don't talk about the tough things Jesus says in here. When you're writing sermons on the tough stuff, Jesus says, because you're digging deep, it can shatter all the hope you have ever had. Do I give up? Because I've already failed. Do I give up? Do I stop trying? Do I stop giving effort? No. No, we can get discouraged by reading the Bible, actually, depending where we are. We will also, because of this, we will also tend to turn to the verses we love. The ones that say, I am doing great. I have it all together in my Lord and Savior, and He is well pleased with me. That's easier. When Jesus was here, many people had to face some hard truths. He was turning everything upside down. He was turning the religious faith system and they're turning it upside down. You got it wrong. Giving tough truths. If you know John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, some of the stuff I'm talking about now you're going to hear again, because sometimes repetition helps us remember things. And when I say hear again, in my upcoming sermons, He told them some very harsh things. He starts out, you're following me, you're hungry, that's why you're coming to me. You're hungry. Then He goes on, giving a cannibalistic view of eating His body and drinking His blood. And what happened? I want to read this because this is one I'm going to read a lot to this year. Aware that His disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Some of His truths hurt, and we can be offended. 5,000 people left, turned its back. Jesus didn't go chasing after them. He let them go. Now, we hope later one of the disciples or apostles explained it to them better what Jesus was talking about. My point is, they heard that and they didn't even want to try. They did not want to try. We need to try every single day. If we fail, we fail. We pick ourselves up. We try again. We can lean on each other, be there for each other, not just today. I don't have time to make time. Make time, I'm sure you can find it. Make it for the Lord. You have to, joy as an acronym, Jesus, others, yourself. Jesus, others, yourself. Repeat that over and over. Jesus, others, yourself. So how much time are you spending on Jesus? How much time are you spending on others? How much time are you spending on yourself? And how much time is wasted because it doesn't apply to any of the three? Maximize the time you have. Find ways to be efficient with your time. Make more time if you're working. I know Barry, you're retired, and Bob's retired. Not every, you know, so you may have more time than those of us doing 60 hours a week. Dave does probably about the same amount in his work week as I do. Maybe every now and then you go ahead and burn a sick day. Take a PTO day and sit with God. Whatever it is, you know, I don't know everybody's schedule. Whatever it is, make time for God and put in the effort. Put in the effort. He sacrificed for us. We can sacrifice for him. We can sacrifice for him. Sacrifice our time and give him the effort he deserves. Hope you all have a wonderful 2026. I'm happy 2026 is here because 2025 has been a nightmare, which is already now bleeding over into 2026. Oh well. I shall trust in the Lord. And I just, this week, put in the time, put in the effort for Jesus and others. Challenge yourselves. Challenge yourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have together, the time we have in our lives. Father, remind us who we are serving. Yes. Give us the strength. As I prayed last night, do not let me give up. Do not let my brothers and sisters here give up either. We pray for a good year in 2026. For some of us, we pray for a better year than what 2025 has been. If 2026, you know, still full of challenges and storms, see us through the storms and always keep peace on our hearts. Lord, please. And again, remind us of who we serve, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.